Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 25 of the Pause.com Entertainment Podcast. We are your hosts,
Tony.
And I am Lou, and we're coming at you a little bit late this week. We had some scheduling issues. I was actually in New York on Monday, and then, you know, it's been a busy week for both of us, so we had to push this off till today. But we hope that you are listening and that you are going to have a wonderful 4th of July tomorrow. And as always, we'd like to remind you that you can send mail to us at podcast@pause.com. And you can also visit us on Facebook and become a fan of our Facebook page and visit us there. And as always, we would encourage you to subscribe to us on iTunes and to leave us a review and a nice rating and not a bad one.
Yes.
So what's going on?
I have a correction, first of all.
Do you have a correction? By the way, thanks again to everyone who submitted stuff for our listener appreciation show. That was a lot of fun to do.
It was.
And it actually came out to be very long, too. Yeah. I was surprised. It was one of our longest shows.
And we've gotten compliments for it, too.
So yeah, so thanks for making that great.
We'll be doing another one of those down the road.
That's true.
And, of course, we'll give you plenty of time to be a part of that one as well.
Hopefully more time than we did this time. Because I think it was a little short.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I agree. And also, if we give it more time, it gives us more time to
watch stuff.
To watch
or
stuff.
Or play stuff or whatever.
More stuff to talk about.
So there you go.
But my correction from last week, I had said Mad Men was on the Independent Film Channel, and it is on AMC.
AMC?
Yes.
Oh, that's probably...
American Movie Classics.
That's probably a lot easier for people to find.
Yes.
Yeah.
So.
All right, so what have you been playing video game-wise?
I don't have a lot. I have a little iPhone game called Ragdoll Blaster.
Okay.
It's from the people who... the Paper Toss, the one I talked about last week in the listener appreciation show.
Okay.
And
what's the name of that company?
Backflip Studios.
Oh,
no, Backflip.
Ooh, okay.
I know it.
All right. I thought this was going to be another old crap moment.
No, I knew you were going to ask that.
Okay.
And this game is $1.99, and it's fun. It's 80 levels of...
Ragdoll fun.
All it is, it's a cannon, and it shoots ragdolls, so it has the physics of the kind of limp...
Right.
You know.
The physics that most people would be used to with ragdoll cannons.
Exactly.
So there you go.
And what you're trying to do, you're just trying to hit the target, but of course there's all kinds of obstacles, so you got to figure out, you know,
right,
the trajectory.
Wind and rain.
Not so much wind, but there's all kinds of, like, there's stuff that's movable that you can, like, knock out of the way with the ragdolls and stuff that you can't.
So you have, like, a limited number of dolls and you have to hit the bullseye.
No, you can hit it. Actually, that's how they score you, is how many dolls you used to hit the
so it's
target.
Golf scoring. Lower is better.
Correct.
Okay. Is there a par for each course?
No, there's not. Okay. But I mean, you can always, what's great is you can go back and play any of the levels, you know.
Right.
You don't have to do them in succession.
Oh, that's cool.
So you can go
once you've unlocked them, or can you go to any level right from the beginning?
No, there's only a certain amount. Once you complete more, then there's more available to you.
Right. Yeah.
Now, it's very hand drawn. I mean, it's like stick figure.
Yeah.
So but it's really cool, and some of the stuff, it's a puzzle game.
Right.
So, I mean, some of it you have to figure out, like, you have to move things, like hit switches and stuff in order for other things to happen, in order for the target to be exposed.
Yeah.
And I've had a lot of fun with
that
it.
That sounds cool.
I mean, for $2, I've
don't
I've
you wish, though, like, once you play a game like that and you grow addicted to the gameplay, don't you kind of wish they'd go back and, like, do the art really cool then?
No, I think it works here.
Yeah.
I think it works here.
So I think you're becoming a big fan of the ragdoll genre between this and Little Big Planet. You seem to like ragdoll.
Well, it seems to be,
games.
And because there's some other ragdoll games that are out too, so it seems to be a growing genre.
I wonder if there's going to be a Domo game at some point.
We need a ragdoll zombie game.
You're all over that. Maybe somebody will do a ragdoll mod for Half-Life 2.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's not going to be. It's not going to be me.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So $1.99?
$1.99. And it's like,
family,
I want to say,
friendly?
It's completely. Okay. And it's like 75 levels.
Well,
and
I guess unless you're a ragdoll, in which case I don't think you'd appreciate being shot out of a cannon.
But I can see them adding like more levels with updates.
Right.
I don't know if they will, but
yeah.
But it certainly seems, you know,
feasible.
Yes.
I gotcha. I have been playing a couple of things. I've played a little bit of the newest Fallout 3 DLC, which is called Point Lookout. And in that, you go and you visit this guy who's got a boat, and he takes you to Point Lookout, which is an island off the coast of, I don't know, D.C. or Maryland or something. And it's inhabited by a bunch of crazies, as with the rest of Fallout 3. One of the funny things about it is there are all these people who live in the swamp, and they're kind of like, you know, hill folk, you know, so they look all weird, and they, you know, shoot at you with weird rifles, and, you know, they're just creepy, like, you know, hill people.
Right.
Mountain men, whatever you want to call them. But I don't know the whole story yet because I haven't finished it. But it's nice. One of the other things that's different about this is the island actually has stuff growing on it. Like there are swamps, you know, and lots of trees and grasses and stuff like that. So, again, it's nice to have a little change of pace. But it's still pretty gray as opposed to being more, you know, more varied in terms of the color scheme. Like that Oasis thing that I mentioned right. in the previous show. That was really cool. And then, you know, the Operation Anchorage one again had a little bit more varied color scheme, so I like that. But I do like the fact that at least it's a little bit more diverse in terms of what you get to see. But gameplay wise, it's still, you know, more of the same old kind of stuff.
Right.
So that's good. I mean, you know, because I enjoy going back in there and doing new stuff still. So that's fun. And then the other thing that I played starting yesterday is the beta of Ion, which is the new massive multiplayer game coming from NCSoft in late September. And so this weekend is the third beta weekend event that they've had, and it's the first one that I've participated in. And I played enough between last night and this morning to already get my character up to level 10, which I'm actually kind of surprised by. But so far it's pretty cool. I mean, as I've mentioned ad nauseum, you know, Guild Wars is sort of my benchmark, and there are a lot of similarities to Guild Wars, so in that respect I like it. You know, Guild Wars was only, you only were with other players in towns, and then you could take up to, you know, however many people out into your instance of the rest of the world with you, whereas this, you know, everybody is in the entire world all the time.
Right.
So it's not instanced in the same way. The artwork style is very similar to Guild Wars, which I kind of like, but there's much more of an Asian feel to the whole thing. Most of the characters look Asian. The music is very Asian. A lot of the dialogues, especially when you first start the game, haven't been translated yet because it was developed by their Korean division.
So how do you know?
Well, like they use this thing. This is one thing I don't like about it. They use this thing. Now, of course, I've forgotten the name of it, but it's an anti-hacking system. It's called GameGuard.
Uh-huh.
And somebody said that it installs itself as a rootkit, which is not cool. But there's some problem running it under 32-bit versions of Vista and Windows 7 where it doesn't work right, and then you have to run it as an administrator in order to launch the game at all. But when it fails, it pops up this dialogue, and it's all just gibberish because, of course, I don't have the Korean character sets on my computer.
Right.
So it just shows up as nonsense. And none of the voices have been...
So basically what you're saying is the Korean language is nonsense.
Thank you. Thank you for distilling it down to that, as with our subject about literature. But no, but it's very pretty so far. It doesn't have the smoothness of Guild Wars, so I'm kind of bummed about that. And I think they still need to do a fair amount of balance tweaking because like the first character that I created is a mage, and you know, so you have your health points and your mana points, and the mana points take forever to regenerate. So it doesn't make the game any more challenging. It just makes it more boring because after you fight for a little while, you have to like go off somewhere and sit down for 10 minutes for your mana to regenerate, which is stupid.
Well, I mean, it being a beta, isn't that stuff that they could fix? Or tweak?
Yeah, of course, and I'm sure that they will. But I can't imagine why it's that way now.
Right.
I mean, I'm sure that's just a setting that they can just, you know, change a number somewhere and it's done.
Why don't you just ask them to change the number?
I don't actually know them. Or I would ask them to change the number. but I mean, I'm sure some of it has to do, too, with the fact that I'm a low level. Like, now I just did what's called ascending, where sometime in the very near future I get my wings.
You sound a little harsh on yourself.
What? No, like, you ascend, and then you get wings, and then you can fly. That's the one big thing that's different about this MMO. It's got a vertical element because you can fly. And the world was basically, if you think of it as kind of like an apple, with the core connecting the top and the bottom. Like if you ate most of an apple and just left the top and the bottom and the core,
right.
That's what their world was like. And thousands of years ago, there was some war and the core was destroyed. So the top half and the bottom half don't know that the other one still survived. And so part of the game is like figuring out what's, you know, going on, who's still around, and then going back and forth between the two halves of the world and the abyss, right. Which is like the hell sort of component to their world. But so you get wings and you can actually fly around. I haven't got my wings yet. But
because you're still low level.
I'm still low level. I'm a very low level person. And so I don't know what's going to be different now. I mean, maybe the balance will be different now. But I just know that was annoying. And I mean, there's a lot of stuff that they have to fix because it's still a beta. But I mean, for the fact that it's still 2 or 3 months out, I'd say it's really polished so far. And there were a ton of people online last night. In fact, when I tried to log in after everyone else was asleep, I was in a login queue of like 300 people.
Wow.
So I had to wait about 10 minutes before it would let me log in because they only have 2 servers online right now, and right. They were both completely full. But I actually liked that they had a login queue and they let you know where you were in the queue, and it, you know, automatically updated. So you would just see that number going down, which was pretty cool.
It had nothing to do with you being a lowlife, right?
Okay. See, now you're actually changing the words a little bit. We went from me being a low-level character to now I'm a low-life. What's up with that?
Oh, that's right, low-level.
Yeah, okay. But anyway, it's pretty cool. And if you you can go to, you know, any store and buy the pre-order for $5, uh-huh. and that'll get you a key to be able to play the beta. So cool. So anyone who wants to play it can try it. You don't have to be invited or right. know somebody or... Well, we'll just leave it at that. And that's it. In other miscellaneous game news, it seems like a rumor of a price drop and or a refresh for the PS3 in the form of the PS3 Slim is actually true, according to a mole that Ars Technica has relied on in the past and who they claim has never been wrong about stuff. So that could happen sometime between now and the end of the year. They should make a different physical version of that. Because, you know, again, I don't like, same thing goes for the Xbox. I don't like components that you have to stick into your AV cabinet or wherever you put your stuff that you can't put stuff on top of. It just right. makes it harder to integrate into all your other stuff. You know what I mean?
Shelves.
Like, well, yeah, that's what I mean. Like, you can't put anything on top of the PS3. It's curved.
Right, but you can't put anything on top of the Xbox either.
No, you could if you laid it on its side. I mean, it's small, but you could still stick a Blu-ray player on top of it if you wanted to. Wouldn't
sit
very well.
I want to say your PS3 can stand on its side too. I'm almost sure.
But then it would be vertical.
Oh, I thought that's what you meant.
No, if you lay the Xbox down, you can stick something on top of it because it's flat.
But it's ventilated. You can't put anything on top of it.
Isn't it ventilated in the back?
No, on the top too.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, I'm almost
sure.
Yeah,
see, that's stupid. You know, that's the same. Here's the other thing. Why I cannot figure out why nobody has done this. All these people who are making PCs to be connected to your media center, why don't they just stick them in a case that's the same as, like, you know, like a receiver or something,
right?
That same exact width as everything else, that 18 and a half inches or whatever it is, and just use that form factor.
Yeah,
so
I don't know why they
stick it in there.
I don't know why they have to go so far with the design, like the whole,
it's stupid,
you
it's
know,
stupid. Just make something that fits into
Xbox
all my other stuff,
right?
Because honestly, unless you're going to put like cool OLED displays or flashing, glowing, cool light effects or
orbs.
Something like that.
I want orbs.
Orbs. Orbs are good. Who doesn't like orbs? Unless you're going to do stuff like that, I really don't care what it looks like, to be honest.
Right.
I'm not going to skin it. I'm not going to buy the Halo version. You know what I mean?
Right.
Most of us don't have like a special video gaming room, so we don't need our video game consoles to look like art.
I agree.
I'm just saying. ZeniMax Media, which is Bethesda's parent company, also purchased id Software, which is, of course, the company behind Doom and Quake and all that stuff. So now they're like kind of a gaming powerhouse. And the owner is also married to Linda Carter. So there's that.
Oh, that's right.
I told you that before. Bejeweled Blitz on Facebook has reached 5.
Oh, I always knew we'd come back to that.
Has reached 5 million friends. So I think we can assume that up to 5 million people have actually played Bejeweled Blitz. And a fair number of those, I take credit for heading in that direction. I'm just saying.
It's fine.
So, I mean, there's no official word on this, of course, but I think it's safe to assume that we'll see, you know, versions of other PopCap games on Facebook like that. I still wish they would change those crystals. I can't say, you know, color blindness.
Yeah.
It's an issue. The bonus crystals, you know what I mean? Because they're just in a circle. That's not
ever
cool.
Tell you that the Peggle on iPhone has a colorblind setting?
Well, I think that the regular Bejeweled does too.
Oh, does it?
I'm not sure about that, but I think it does. But that's good.
So they are privy to your handicap.
Well, I know. They're sensitive to it. They're just not doing much about it as far as Bejeweled Blitz goes. And then Microsoft confirmed that the Natal version of the Xbox 360 will be out next year. So I think I had assumed that they were coming out with a new console and that it was going to feature that, but they're just doing a new version of the 360.
Right, but what I heard is that it still won't be integrated into the unit. It'll still be a separate unit.
Well, it has to be.
Well, why bother then?
Well, what's the difference between that and the motion sensor on the Wii? Either way, you got to mount it to the top of your TV. Things got to be able to see you. If you have your Xbox in a cabinet, it's not going to be able to
see
you.
Very true.
So Unless you got some secret tricks that you want to share with Microsoft.
No.
Okay.
I've got none. I've got nothing.
You got nothing. All right. So that's pretty much it. You got anything else for games?
Nope.
All right, cool. We'll be back in a minute to talk about TV. Okay, we're back, and it's time to talk about television. That would be the big rectangular box in your family room. Or bedroom.
Yeah.
Or what other room do you put a TV in?
Bathroom.
Bathroom. It probably wouldn't be that big, though. I'm surprised we haven't seen more, like, like shower TVs come out. Because yeah, there are a lot of people who like to take, like, a long hot shower and maybe, you know, watch a little Oprah.
That is so creepy.
Because I'll tell you right now, there's nobody watching Oprah taking a cold shower, that's for sure. Except maybe, what's her name? What's
Gail.
Her name? Gail, thank yeah. you. So, just for Gail, we'll come out with that. Okay, so let's talk about Chopped, because
so
that's
you've been
a show
Chopped.
That you turned us on to,
yeah.
and we love it.
It's excellent,
you
isn't
know,
it?
It is. It's a great show.
It.
And like you said, it's kind of cool because it's all about cooking.
Right.
I'll tell you right now, the one huge detraction for that show for me, hosted by Ted Allen, who I cannot stand.
I have to agree with you.
Cannot stand him. He's so snotty.
Yeah.
And just like, you can just tell he just thinks he's the shiznit in
right.
general. Although he's a lot more tame.
All right, Snoop.
He's a lot more tame on this show than he is, like, for instance, when he's on Top Chef.
Right.
But he's still just annoying.
I have a problem with him because when, you know, he got his start on Queer Eye for the
right.
Straight Guy. And some of the advice he used to give and some of the, like, you know, he was in charge of the whole culinary
okay.
aspect of that show. And just, he didn't seem like an expert to me.
Oh, really?
And that show was so heavily sponsored that he was like, you know, he'd be like, oh, well, you know, you should serve it with this Ecco de Mani wine.
Right.
Oh, yeah, that's...
I think that would be much better if you served it with some Velveeta.
Really?
Really? I mean, some of the stuff he would have them make or, you know...
Yeah.
It just
seemed more sponsored than it did expert.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I didn't really see any skill in...
Yeah. I just, you know, I don't find him interesting at all. And I find him, like, really condescending and annoying.
Snarky.
So he is very snarky. And, you know, snark is good. I mean, you know, Simon Cowell. But at the same time, there has to be something else
credibility
there.
Credibility behind it.
And yeah. I just don't find that with him.
I agree.
But that is... actually a very minor issue for me for the show, because the show is a total blast to watch.
I love it.
And it's great because, like you said, there's no drama. It's just all about the food. You know, there's not people living together. It's just like one episode with these four people, and then somebody wins, they get 10 grand, and
right.
then bye-bye next four people
right.
next week. It's really cool. And it is really cool to see what they do with the stuff. This last one that we saw for the dessert, one of the ingredients they had was gummy bears. So they had to incorporate gummy bears into their dessert.
Was that this week?
I don't really know, because our DVR is a little messed
right.
up, so I'm not sure when it was actually from. But it's really cool. It's
yeah.
a really cool
I love
show.
It.
So thank you so much for
I love it. You know what I'd
that.
Like to just to boost the drama a little is if it was more of like a tournament where, like, you know, they have the four chefs on, and
right.
then if they brought the winners back to compete against each other.
That would be cool.
Kind of like they're doing with Top Chef Masters.
Right. Right. That would be cool. And, you know, let's talk about Top Chef Masters, because I that show is boring me a little bit.
I have to agree.
First of all, I don't like the host at all. I mean, this is like a host slam fest today, but
right.
What's her name?
I don't even know.
Something Kelly Choi or something like that?
I don't know.
She's just...
Yeah.
I don't know. She's just... I know there's something wrong with her.
I don't think anyone saw
no,
that.
No, they didn't see that. I made
that
a face.
That came with a face, by the
I
way.
I made a face. I made a face to, like, kind of imitate her. She just bugs me.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's just... It is cool, though, to see...
Well, like I had said before, I mean, you're not going to get drama between the chefs,
no, because
really,
they're not because, living together, first of all.
And because,
they're
you know, like I said, there's always this brotherhood of chefs.
Right.
You know, once they're established, that they're not really going to, you know...
The chef fraternity.
There you are. Yeah.
But it was cool that Rick Bayless represented for Chicago.
Yeah.
He won his episode, and he will be back to compete for more, so that's cool. Did we already mention that? So I'm sorry if I mentioned that again.
No.
I think you and I talked about that, but
yeah.
but we didn't mention it on the show. So that's very cool. So now we got to talk about True Blood, which we also both watch.
Yes.
You're caught up?
Yes.
Okay. I think that this past episode was the best one I've ever seen.
It was great.
It was a phenomenal episode.
Yeah.
It had like everything you could want from a TV show.
Uh-huh.
It was scary. It was really funny. And there was an element of the show that I was very surprised by, which was that Jessica, who's the girl who Bill had to turn as his punishment,
right?
She goes to Merlot's because she's hungry and she wants
and
to
I
feed.
And I have to say, I almost would want to play What's Wrong With Her Face because her look always kind of bugged me.
Yeah.
She looked amazing.
She did. She looked great. And so she goes to Merlot's because she wants to feed. And she sees Hoyt sitting by himself and she's like, oh, here's the perfect victim.
Weren't you so scared? I mean, did you
feel
so bad?
Totally scared. Ended up being one of the sweetest moments that I have seen on TV in so long. It was so sweet and romantic because, you know, Hoyt is such like a simple guy and he's very nice and kind. Like, I don't know if you remember last season, there was a time when Sookie was getting really upset by all the horrible things that she could hear people thinking.
Right.
And then she goes to Hoyt and he's just thinking stuff like, oh, she's so sweet and nice. I just like her so much. And she, you know, and that kind of like renewed her faith in people.
Right.
So, and Hoyt's a great character for that. But he was just so sweet and nice to her that she ended up, you know, and then she was like embarrassed by her vampire-ness.
Right.
And he's telling her not to be embarrassed by it because, you know, he's like, don't be ashamed of what you are. What you are is awesome. And, you know, and then they started kissing and fooling around and stuff, but she ended up not feeding on him.
Right.
Because she actually liked him. And it was so sweet. And then the scenes with Jason Stackhouse, again, brilliant actor.
He really is
so good at that character.
Uh-huh.
I mean, just the little nuances of his facial expressions and the way he reacts to stuff. It's just, even though I don't actually know anybody who's really like that to that extent, it's such a real performance. And then there was some cool stuff with Eric, you know, the sheriff.
Right.
I laughed so hard when he told what's his name, Pam? No, what's her name? His.
Yeah, I
can't remember her name. But when he tells her to go check the woods and she doesn't want to do it, and she leaves, and he goes, she is extremely lazy. That was such a great line. I really like how the relationship between Eric and Bill is developing. Like, it's less confrontational. It's a little bit more relaxed, which I think is really cool. But one of the big things about this episode that I thought was fantastic was the introduction of yet another race of creepy monster,
right, with the bullhead
that nobody knows about.
Yeah.
And you know, of course, we were thinking it was Marianne, but now it seems like it might be Daphne.
Right.
But if it's what I can't figure out is if it's Daphne, why does she also have the scars on her back? I mean, she obviously has something to do with it.
Well, maybe, you know, maybe she was attacked like Sookie was.
But turned rather than...
Because the poison wasn't taken out.
Right.
And so maybe that's the effect,
right,
of the
right, because the doctor said she thought the poison would kill her, but maybe
right.
It just turns you
right.
into one of those.
That doctor was a great character,
that
too.
Doctor was a great character. She was very, like, you know, Zelda Rubinstein for the new millennium. And, you know, that's a contest that I think a lot of people have entered.
Of course.
And she won. So there you go. I don't know who that was. I've never seen her before. She was a dwarf, right? Either that or Eric is like 9 feet tall. One of the two.
I think she's just little.
Really? But not officially a little person.
Do you want to go on your little people rant again?
No. I don't have a problem with little people. What are you talking about?
No, I know. But
I never said anything bad about little people.
No, you didn't. But didn't we have a whole discussion over little people and...
Oh, you mean the difference between dwarfs and midgets?
Yeah.
No, I don't need to talk about that again. We've done it.
It's been said.
Yeah, but she was a great character. And there was something else. What am I... I'm forgetting something. Well, what was some of the stuff that you liked about the episode?
I don't like where they're going with the whole Marianne thing. I didn't like the party.
Yeah, the party was... Although, at least for the first time for me, the sex and nudity was at least justified.
Right.
Because she's obviously trying to do something. I don't know what that is still.
I don't either.
And you don't think that the bull human is her, right?
No, I don't.
No.
No.
But what about all the other stuff that I just talked about?
You mean what is my... No, I agree with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was a great episode.
It was such a good episode. And if you haven't seen the show and you want to start watching it, please do yourself a favor and go out and get season one on DVD or Blu-ray or whatever, because, I mean, you really can't just jump into the middle of it.
No, not at all. don't even try it.
No, don't even think about trying it. Don't even think about turning on HBO to watch anything.
Speaking even of, we don't have porn. It on the list here, but I do want to say, did you see the new show on HBO, Hung?
No.
Ridiculous.
This is about William Hung.
I hated it. No, you know what? It would be better off. No, it's about a guy who's kind of down on his luck. His wife left him for like a guy with more money, and she's got the kids, and he's like having trouble with his job, and so like he has a one-night stand, and it comes out that apparently he's very well endowed.
Yeah.
So the one-night stand he has becomes his pimp and starts pimping him out.
Okay.
Now, HBO always has a pretty good track record of like quality writing, quality. I mean, there's some big stars in it. It's Thomas Jane,
right? Plays the main character. I like Thomas Jane.
Anne Heche, who I don't.
Thomas Jane married to what's her name?
Not anymore.
Oh, they did.
I don't think they're together anymore.
Oh, okay. So forget it. Never forget I ever
Patricia
said
Arquette.
Yeah,
correct?
Right.
Yeah, I don't
forget I ever said anything.
But I could be wrong.
Okay.
But I sense trouble if they are together.
Is that because, like, no, her character on Medium, you have a psychic power?
No, I just want to be, you know, right in my
sure, I
stuff that I ramble.
You
won't
have to make another correction next
exactly.
week. I see where this is going.
But I hated it. I thought the writing was just so bad and convoluted, and just the premise is ridiculous.
See, remember when I was complaining about the whole Nurse Jackie thing and how I felt like it was one of those things that some person who thinks really highly of themselves had a really neat idea for a tagline and made that into a TV show.
Uh-huh.
I kind of got the same impression when I heard about this show. I was like, I want to do a show about a guy who's got a really big schlong. It's like, who cares?
Right.
I just don't care.
Really, how far can it go?
Right. And obviously,
I mean, because you're going to tire of the premise after like the third episode.
Right. And obviously you can just use that as the premise, and then there's
and
all this other stuff that happens.
To it, right.
But I just don't. I just think it's such a ridiculous concept for a show.
Yeah, I didn't. Like
I mean,
it.
Okay.
And I will say,
let me ask
in defense
a question.
Of Nurse Jackie,
yeah.
Nurse Jackie is very cleverly.
Yeah.
It's very, you know, the twists in it are very clever, and the writing I think is amazing. But this just the writing was so terrible. The dialogue was so terrible.
Yeah, and think about the reaction that people would have to if HBO said, "We're going to do a show about a lady with big boobs."
Right.
Okay. They tried that with VIP. It didn't work.
VIP?
Remember that show with Pamela Anderson?
No.
Not HBO, but it was, you know.
Right.
It was like where she was the head of an all-chick, big, large-breasted female detective agency.
Yeah.
Yeah, that lasted about 8 shows, if that.
But you saw 8 shows.
It was a great show. No, I never saw it. No. No, she's one of those people who we've seen naked so much that I actually prefer to see her with her clothes on because it's more interesting to me.
Right.
It's like, oh, I didn't picture her to look like that. You know, there's something fun there. But no, it seemed like a dumb idea. All right, so another miscellaneous TV news. Lost's last season is going to be 18 episodes instead of the previously announced 17. So I guess...
Is that even worth mentioning?
They forgot an episode? Oh, God, we got this other part of the story. I don't know.
Maybe
that
that's the very special episode of Lost.
On a very special episode of Lost, Kate learns the value of love and trust. I don't know. Kate learns how to not look like she's always about to cry.
By crying.
By actually crying. G4 is going to be broadcasting at least 2 Comic-Con panels live. I wrote life, but I meant live. Including Lucasfilm's July 25th panel. And, okay, I don't get this at all. Apparently Warner Brothers is going to be doing some special screening that's going to be streamed live as BD Live content for people who bought the Blu-ray of Watchmen. If you bought the Blu-ray of Watchmen, why would you give a rat's ass if they're going to stream it live? I don't get it.
I don't get it either.
There better be like an extra hour of footage in that to make it worth somebody's while. Otherwise, why wouldn't you just pop in the disc and watch it?
Right.
Huh?
I don't know.
What?
Huh?
Huh? It makes no sense. Time Warner and Comcast have announced their TV Everywhere concept to be tested in July, in which people will be able to get all of their content online for free. If, of course, you're an existing customer.
That's really cool.
Which is actually really cool. So basically, it's like moving the DVR from your house to their whatever.
Right.
Not their house, probably. I don't think they operate. I don't think Comcast is a home-based business. But still, that's a cool idea. I don't care where it's coming from. Especially if it's glitch-free. I'm still having some glitchy issues with my
It'll
Comcast
certainly
DVR,
eliminate...
DirecTV DVR.
It'll take a big stab at that whole Sling player audience.
Yeah, I don't know anybody who has one of those.
You know what? I bought one of those.
You did?
And I couldn't get it to work.
Really?
Yeah. Well, first of all, you have to put all these things in order to control the remote. You need to attach all those sensors to your cable box. And
oh, I hate that.
There were just so many things you needed to do in order to make it work, and I didn't meet one of the requirements somewhere, and I couldn't get it to work.
So do you think it was kind of an idea ahead of
its
time, whose time will never come?
Okay, sure. My review of the Sing Player, janky.
Janky. Which is kind of funny because actually you reconnected with an old coworker of ours whose last name happens to be Janky.
Janky, yeah. That was very serendipitous.
It was very serendipitous. And then what were you going to say about Comcast?
We'll bring that up in the mashup.
Oh,
yeah, that's
okay.
More,
all right, cool.
Not TV related.
Ryan Seacrest and Lindsay Lohan are working on a reality show together. American Teenage Drama Queen. Freaky Friday Idol. What is it going to be?
Something about being in the closet. I don't know.
Wait, what are you saying?
Both of them.
In the closet?
Well, she's not really, but...
What, is she? Is she bi?
She's had a girlfriend for like a year and a half.
I don't pay attention to her. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Is it sad that I know that much about her?
A little bit, yeah. That would make for a very Freaky Friday, though, I'll have to say.
They are girlfriends.
Oh, so they're a couple.
Oh, yeah. They hold hands. They kiss in public.
And is she also dating a guy, or is she exclusive with this guy?
I think she's exclusive with it's so sad that we're having this discussion. But she won't come out and say that she's gay.
Even though she's got a girlfriend. Yeah. What's the difference?
Well, this girl's kind of like a
guy.
Well,
wait a minute. So. Oh, is she very mannish?
Samantha Ronson is her name. Look her up.
Okay. I was okay with us having a conversation, but you know the girl's name.
It's all over. It's everywhere.
Not where I look.
How can you avoid it?
It's not where I look. Okay. Well, that's good to know. I guess. I don't know why. But what could they possibly be doing together? So you think he's gay too?
Come on.
Isn't he always seen out with hotties?
Yeah, that's
or hotties?
Setup.
That's a what?
That's a setup. I'm sticking by it.
He can't just be.
This is one of the first things I've ever brought up in the podcast.
What?
This
yeah,
is one
well,
of the
that's
first.
True. Can't he just be a metrosexual?
No, not him.
What? All right, that's fine. You heard it here last, folks. Okay. And did you know that American Idol makes $900 million a year?
I did not know that.
That is a lot of scratch. That's a lot of...
How come they can't feed their staff?
Well, then they'd only make $899 million a year or something. That came out as part of news about Simon Cowell's contract negotiations because somebody said that I guess he's paid somewhere between $36 and $45 million a season for that show.
Oh, my God.
And now they're saying that he might be making 3 to 4 times that much if his negotiations go well. But somebody else said that would eat into all of Fox's profits. Because, you know, it brings in $900 million a year. I don't know how much of that is profit. But here's what I don't get. Okay, if you've got a show that is so popular that you can charge more for the advertising, it doesn't cost you any extra to put that advertising on the air. So it's not like your costs as a broadcaster go up for a popular show versus a non-popular show. You're always broadcasting the same stuff anyway.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I don't know how that analyst could say that that would eat into their profits. If it's generating $900 million, the cost of production doesn't go up. The cost of broadcasting doesn't go up.
No, I have to say actually the cost of production, I would think for this last season, probably went down in that, remember all the seasons before, they had like the mentors and the big names on there.
Right.
They didn't have many of those this year.
Right, not as many.
And I remember us making jokes about, you know,
right.
It must be hard times for Idol as well because, you know.
But $900 million doesn't sound like hard times to me.
No.
I'd take that. Yeah. More than I'm making right now. By a little bit. Pause.com don't pay me $900
million. No, it does not.
Okay. I'm just saying. Melissa Rycroft is now engaged to former and once again boyfriend and now fiance, Ty Strickland. Okay.
Okay, wait a minute.
Yes.
So you're going to give me a hard time about the Lindsay Lohan.
I just read this. Yeah, but... It's not like I actually knew it.
But okay.
But
obviously,
no.
I'm somewhere where I'm learning about Lindsay Lohan. You're somewhere where you're learning about Melissa Rycroft.
Yeah, on the blog that you told me about.
Oh, I love that blog.
Reality Blurred.
I love it.
Okay, but let's talk about this. She used to date this guy before she was on The Bachelor.
Uh-huh.
So you used to date him, and then you went on a TV show to find your husband, and you got proposed to, and you got dumped, and now you're dating him again, and you're going to marry him. If he was that great, why didn't you get engaged to him before the show?
Maybe it took that whole
No. In the thing that I read this in, she said, oh, he's my best friend. You know, we've known each other forever. Da, da. Well, what?
So she used it to become a star.
Well, apparently. So we're doing a lot of that today. I found that whole situation a little janky. All right, so we can't go any further without talking about all the celebrity deaths in the past couple of weeks. First, Ed McMahon, which I never got my check, so I'm bummed about that.
okay.
But then Farrah Fawcett, and the same day, Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
She
got ripped off.
I at first, before all this other stuff started coming out about Michael Jackson and, you know, his drugs and all that stuff, I assumed that he was so upset by the news of her death that he had a heart attack and keeled over. But apparently that's not the case.
No, it's not.
Okay. Which I wouldn't put it past him. He seems to be an emotional sort of chap, or at least he used to be. So I have not really been following all the news about this. What is the big deal with his death? Like, what's the big scandal?
You mean as far as how he died?
Yeah, and I guess all these people have been saying, well, now that he's dead, all this stuff is going to come out that is going to shock a lot of
people. Well, apparently
he
had all kinds of needle marks, and he was taking all kinds of painkillers and, like, getting them from different sources. And now they're investigating the doctors to see, you know, because some of the doctors are saying, well, I never gave him that drug.
Right.
You know, like, he had his own personal doctor, and he was saying, oh, he never gave him.
And that's the guy whose car they saw in his driveway, right. But he disappeared.
Right.
Did they ever find him?
Yes.
And?
And he's denying. I mean, the DEA has stepped in and now doing all this investigation. But you know, the whole thing now is just about his estate and, you know, where his kids are going to go.
But then there was the thing that Dionne Warwick said about him, how there was some woman that he was, like, madly in love with and who nobody knew about.
Oh,
and how the kids aren't actually his kids, right?
Right. And now they're coming out and saying that his wife, Debbie Rowe,
yeah.
The one who was supposedly the mother of the kids, really isn't the biological mother of them either. She was a surrogate that carried them, but they weren't her kids either.
But he wasn't even legally their father. He had never legally adopted them or even ever signed the paperwork to do that.
Oh, I don't know about that.
That's something that I read a few days ago.
Yeah. See, you know,
it's just so weird.
We'll talk more about this later.
Okay. All right. Okay.
This may
Sorry.
Come up
Sorry.
In a future segment.
Moving on. In a minute, we will be back to talk about movies. Hello. We are back.
We're back.
And we're going to talk about movies, or at least Tony is, because
yes.
I didn't see anything.
I saw a couple things.
All right. What'd you see?
Let's start with The Proposal.
Yeah.
That is the romantic comedy with Sandra Bullock and Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds. Actually, I like both of them a lot.
Then you would like this movie. I have to say, I this movie is the most formulaic. Like, it just.
But haven't most of her movies been like that?
Yeah.
I mean, with the exception of, like, maybe Speed. But
right.
But in terms of her romantic comedies, they've all been pretty.
They're all the same.
Yeah.
And this is another one.
Except for maybe The Lake House, which I don't think was supposed to be
that.
A comedy.
Never
I didn't
saw
either.
That.
Seems so stupid.
But this movie, you know. It is what it is.
Right.
I mean, don't go into it expecting it to be any different than any other romantic comedy, but I enjoyed it.
Okay,
it's
now I'm going to do my Steve Kometko for a minute. So you've seen The Proposal now. So how did it happen that they became engaged so quickly?
Oh,
how did that happen?
What is that you're doing?
Wait, didn't I tell you about that? That
no.
We saw some show that he hosted and he was interviewing them. And he said, now you work for her. And then all of a sudden you're engaged. How did that happen so quickly? It's like, dude, it's not real life. It's a stupid romantic comedy. Quit trying to be Bill Curtis here.
Right.
It was so weird.
Well, of course, you
so
know the premise.
So tell us how it happened.
Yeah. Please stop that. The premise is she is some, like, cutthroat executive who, uh-huh. And he's her assistant. And she just found out that she's going to be deported to Canada.
Right.
Where she's from. And
can we please refer to it as Canadia?
Okay. So in order for her not to be shipped back to Canada,
right. They have to go to Alaska to visit his family.
She has, like, roped her assistant into marrying her
right.
To keep her in the country.
Sure.
And he's an aspiring, she's a publicist.
And this kind of
or,
thing
I'm sorry,
happens all
she's
the
She's in
time.
Publishing. She's
okay.
Not a publicist.
Okay.
But, and
she's a publicist.
Right. From Canada.
From Canada.
And
So and his family is from Alaska, right?
Right.
Okay, good.
Which is connected to Canada.
Right. By more than a narrow maritime border, I should point out.
Okay. Are you going to let me talk or what?
Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
So he decides to go through with it just because it'll help him. He wants to be a novelist.
Okay.
So working for this publicist is really going to work in his favor.
Right.
So he decides to go through with it because it'll help his career.
Right.
And so, you know, it's the whole they've got to prove it to the INS.
Sure.
So right. They go to Canada. I'm sorry. You've got me all thrown off. They go to Alaska, spend the weekend with their family because,
right.
You know, his grandmother's turning 90, who's played by Betty White, who
okay.
is, you know, great.
Right.
As she is in everything nowadays. Ever seen her in stuff? Like in that, what was that Crocodile movie from like 10 years ago? She's really funny.
Yes, she was very funny in that. Lake Placid?
Yes.
Is that it? Yeah, she was very good in that. Yeah.
So anyway, comedy ensues. It's good. It's cute.
Yeah. Lots of laugh out loud moments.
Yeah, there are some really funny moments.
Yeah.
And there's some great little, you know who's the best in this movie? I didn't even know he was in it. Oscar from The Office.
Wait, did you tell me this already?
Well, yeah, I saw the movie last week.
Okay.
But he's got, I don't want to ruin it. In case
yeah, but he's got a good part.
Excellent part. He's yeah. very funny in it.
Yeah. But, I like him on The Office.
I would recommend it. I mean, it's, like I said,
yeah,
you know what you're getting into, but very sure. funny. And I really like both of them. I really think Ryan Reynolds is going to become huge. I mean, he's big now, but
yeah.
But he's so likable and he's so good at
he really
in everything is.
He really is. He really is very likable, which is, you know, a lot of times that kind of guy is often like I kind of I don't really want to compare these two because they're nothing alike, but they're okay, they're both nice-looking guys and they're both funny. Dane Cook, very unlikable.
Yes.
Ryan Reynolds, very likable.
Right.
So
that's because Dane Cook has that thing that Ted Allen has, almost like a condescending snarkiness to him.
Yeah.
Whereas Ryan Reynolds seems like he would be a nice guy.
But like,
I don't know him, so
yeah. But like yeah. even in the last Blade movie, which was pretty terrible, Ryan Reynolds was hilarious. He was really right. funny in that. So yeah, he's good to watch.
So I liked it. It's yeah. you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
And the other movie I saw was Public Enemies.
Okay. Johnny
and,
Depp.
Yes, Johnny Depp and so many like actors in this movie, like,
cast of thousands.
Really, there are yeah, so many
basically
people.
Like another Cannonball Run.
No, it's not really
not
like that.
That at all. Okay.
And let me just say, as far as the aesthetics of this movie, gorgeous. And some of the stuff, it's amazing to me how they shot so much of this in Chicago and made Chicago look like it was in the 30s.
That is cool.
It really is. I mean, some of it had to be CG because it's,
yeah, I'm sure
it's amazing.
Or perhaps matte paintings.
But I have to say, I didn't really care for it. The first 2 hours, this movie's two
and
a half
hours. The first 2 hours?
Yeah, it's 2.5. Seems like 4.
Great.
But the first 2 hours are so boring.
Really?
So boring. And there's so much action in it, but the action isn't even gripping.
Who directed it?
Michael Mann.
Wow, that's surprising. He's a good director. Although, you know, he is a little bit deliberate in his pacing in general.
Yeah.
You know?
Completely. But let me say a couple things about it. First of all, the last half hour... incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously you're not going to just go watch the last half hour, but
right.
it doesn't quite make up for the first 2 hours, but the last half hour is great. And
yeah.
there's some great performance. I mean, the acting in it overall is great,
yeah.
but there's so much moving stuff in the last half hour that the first 2 hours, there's no human drama in it whatsoever.
God, that's so weird.
It really is weird. It's so disjointed. Like it just reaches this part where like the whole movie changes and shifts into this, you know.
Yeah.
more emotional thing that was completely none of that in the first 2 hours. I had a problem with a lot of the, like, there's a lot of gunfights, you know,
right.
Tommy guns and that. And
yeah.
it's after a while, I mean, there's so much shooting, but no one's hitting anything. I mean, yeah they're hitting buildings and cars and stuff, but no one, you know.
Like no one dies.
Shooting off entire rounds of Tommy guns and no one's getting,
that
oh,
is
it was
a little
ridiculous.
Weird.
And they kind of, this movie glorifies John Dillinger, so they kind of, in turn, make the cops look like idiots
yeah.
to the point where, like, after a while, they're bumbling.
Yeah.
And you're like, come on.
Did you expect to hear the Keystone Cops, like, background music?
They may as well. But,
yeah, you know, I have to say I get annoyed with that stuff, too. I still want to see this, but, you know, maybe we can just wait till it's on video.
I would almost recommend it just, well...
I've warned you, four-fifths of the movie is boring. It's hard for me to justify sitting in a theater.
That's true.
To
I mean,
watch that.
Visually, it's captivating through the whole thing.
Yeah.
And Johnny Depp, I mean, Johnny Depp is great in everything he does. Yeah. But there just wasn't enough. You didn't get enough of him as a person.
Right.
There was no backstory on him whatsoever.
Yeah.
There was no, I mean, the whole love story between him and her. I mean, he was kind of a bully with her. Like,
Who's the girl?
What's her name? Marion Cotillard. She played Edith Piaf.
Right.
In fact, she won the Oscar.
She won the Oscar for that. Yeah.
She's excellent in it. But he's just kind of a, even the way he gets her, it's kind of like he bullies her into, you know, being his girlfriend.
Hey, that's love. Caveman style.
Yeah, it really is. But you get to see some of his heart in the last half hour, but, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. It leaves me feeling kind of meh.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. Although I have to say that from the previews even, I was not really that excited about it. And usually I would be more excited about a movie that seemed like it was going to have that kind of a scope, especially with Michael Mann directing and Johnny Depp starring.
Right.
But even the preview left me kind of cold for it.
Well, I also went into it. Let me give you a little personal story about it. I went into it, you know, the hotel I work at is where the crew was staying.
Okay.
Not the cast, but the crew.
Okay.
And it was amazing how after every shoot, almost the whole crew would fill the bar.
Yeah.
And they'd just get wasted
talking
about how much they hated Michael Mann and what oh my god and how he was such a tyrant and like you couldn't even talk to him and one of the guys kind of confided in me and told me you would not believe the way he talks to people. I mean there are people who like quit the movie because of the way he like handled people.
Sure.
And this guy said it was the hardest I mean he'd been in the business for like 30 years. He said it was the hardest movie he ever had to work with because he was so hard to get along with.
Wow.
So you know I went into it knowing that.
Sure.
And so, you know, I don't think it would give me a bias to where I would say I didn't like it when it was good.
Right. Yeah, right.
Having that in the back of my mind probably made me dislike it a little more.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that. But, you know, I have to wonder sometime, based on all the things that you hear about Hollywood and the business of making a Hollywood movie, I have to wonder if you almost have to be like that to a certain extent to make certain kinds of movies. I mean, I don't know. I mean, even James Cameron, everyone says he's really difficult to work with, but they also say that they like him and respect him. You know what I mean?
From what these people were saying,
there's no like and no respect, just bad. Yeah. No, that's too bad. And like I said, I unfortunately did not get to see anything. But in other movie news, I could not believe this. Universal won the bidding war between four studios to pick up the rights for Asteroids, the Atari video game from 1978, as a movie.
Now, here's my question.
There's no story. Right. Here's what you got. You got rocks, you got triangles, you got flying saucers. That's all you got. You got those three things.
My question is, couldn't you just make a movie about asteroids and not need the rights? I mean, there were asteroids before asteroids.
Well, yeah. They did
exist. Could you just make a movie about asteroids and not... You don't need the rights to make a movie about asteroids.
There's nothing to secure the rights for.
Right.
I mean, this is literally rocks, triangles, and flying saucers. Okay, you could do that. Like you said, you could do that without securing the rights.
Wow.
What?
That makes my head hurt.
Okay, for the third time, I'm going to go, huh? What? Huh? Yeah. But still, at the same time, I feel compelled to write a treatment for it.
Okay.
I'm just saying. And in equally ridiculous news,
I don't even know what to make of this.
The Viewmaster may be made into a film. What?
What?
In the vein of Goonies, apparently.
What does that mean?
I don't know. How do you turn
Where are you getting this information?
I got it. You know, where all good information comes from. The interweb. But no, supposedly it's going to be the basis for a film. I don't know, like maybe it's a magic Viewmaster and you look through it and you get transported into a cool 3D world.
Well,
so, you know, there's that. That could be fun.
Yeah, that's never been done.
No. No, especially not in the, what are those movies called? The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Right.
Big. Take your pick. Avatar, probably, to a certain degree.
Inkheart.
What? I didn't see that one.
I didn't either.
But because I know you don't like the Brendan Fraser. But now, did we already talk about all the stuff from CineXpo that people were saying about Avatar?
No.
Okay. And let's clarify. We're talking about James Cameron's Avatar and not M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong's Airbender, The Last Avatar.
Okay.
Okay. So James Cameron's Avatar, they screen like, I don't know, 20 minutes. And pretty much everyone said it was, without question, the most amazing thing that they've ever seen in their lives.
Come on.
All these people were saying the same thing, basically. That finally somebody has figured out why 3D makes sense for the movies. That it's going to absolutely revolutionize.
So you're saying it's the 3D. That...
No. And just visually, you know, the visuals of... And whatever they saw of the story and stuff like that, saying it's the most amazing thing they've ever seen. Everyone was saying it's going to be a turning point for the film industry.
Wow.
So I hope it's not just all hype, and I hope the rest of the movie lives up to those however many minutes they saw, because
right.
We need that kind of movie. You know, especially with remakes, licensing a video game about triangles, licensing a toy that has nothing to do with films. You know, it does seem like a lot of times, like, people are out of good, new, original ideas. So if Cameron comes through with this great original movie that also is really cool technically, then that'll be a great thing. So I'm looking forward
to
that.
When does that come up?
I believe November. I don't have the exact date. A new Resident Evil movie called, I believe, Resident Evil Afterlife will be out next year in September. A fourth movie, probably also starring Mila Jovovich, which is great. Okay, Carl Malden is dead.
Yes.
Farrah Fawcett is dead.
We've discussed that.
I know. I'm just saying. Did we discuss Farrah Fawcett?
Yes.
Yeah, kind of. Farrah Fawcett, I had in here because I, although I know, like you said, she's more famous for
Charlie's Angels.
I always think of her as the
Logan's Run.
No, not Logan's Run. Was she in that?
Yeah.
That was her?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. No, I always think of her from, Capricorn 1, was that? No, what was the movie that she was in where the robot was in love with her? And tried to get with her.
I don't know. Not Electric Dreams. Huh?
No. That was a computer, not a robot, and it was a different actress. His name has escaped me for the...
Virginia Madsen.
Thank you. Although, that is one of those movies that is one of the films that I'm the most disappointed has never been released on DVD. For some reason, has
what?
Never come...
That's what you're most disappointed?
No. Of all the movies that I like... that have never been released on DVD, Electric Dreams is probably the one that I'm the most disappointed about. There's not that many that have not been released on DVD, so the pickings is kind of slim already, I'm just saying. But that was a fun movie. Capricorn 1, Saturn 3, what's the difference? Yeah, Robot in Love with Farrah Fawcett. No, for me, Cannonball Run.
Yeah.
You know, so there you go. And then due to a scheduling... Oh, I'll go back to this other one. Due to a scheduling snafu, because Transformers has a four-week IMAX contract, so only three theaters in the entire country are going to be showing Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince on opening day in IMAX. And those three are the Century City in L.A., the Henry Crown in Chicago. I didn't even know there was an IMAX there, did you?
No.
And the AMC Lowe's Lincoln Square.
Are they true IMAX or are they IMAX experiences?
I don't know. I didn't know there was a difference.
There is.
What's the difference?
Size.
Oh, okay. So one of them's hung and one of them's not. and then finally, I skipped this, but The Princess and the Frog, there are some clips that have gotten out onto YouTube, and now it's sparked all this controversy over racial stereotypes again.
Uh-huh.
You know what the deal is with this movie?
No.
It's a cel-animated Disney movie, and the main character is a black girl.
Okay.
Which is already controversial because...
Why? What difference does it make?
Well, it's not controversial, but the thing that's controversial about it is it has been testing very poorly.
All right.
And so that has sparked some controversy. But then there's like a character who's like kind of called Mama Odie, who's kind of Aunt Jemima-ish.
Okay.
But, I haven't seen any of it, so I can't really comment. Right. So that's it. You have anything else for movies?
Nope.
Okay, we'll be back in a minute then to wrap things up in the mashup section. Alrighty, we are back for the final segment of the show, the old mashup.
Moosh, moosh.
There you go. This is where we get on a little nookie-nookie with technology. And what?
Is this to make up for the fact that Mike didn't win any prizes last week?
Hey, that's his problem. The first thing I wanted to mention is that PCs with the USB 3 spec USB ports will be shipping before the end of the year, supposedly. And what's cool again about that is that the transfer speeds are much higher than they are with USB 2.0. For instance, you could transfer an entire 25 gigabyte file in just over a minute, which is pretty awesome. So that's now, great. Now, see, now don't you see why I talk about stuff like this? That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You're shopping for a laptop and you got, you're on the fence. One of them's got USB 3.0. Which one do you go for?
The pretty one.
No, no, no. Wrong. Wrong. That is absolutely the wrong answer. Okay. An entire 13-story building in Shanghai tipped over and fell down.
See, this is the stuff I make fun of.
Okay.
So how is this?
You don't think that's interesting? A 13-story building just went and killed a guy. Only one guy. Still under construction. So fortunately, there was only one dude under the building when it tipped over. But I mean, you should see the picture of it. It's just, it's not like it collapsed. It just literally tipped over. So now there's a 13-story building laying on its side.
Did it fall on a Best Buy?
No.
Then why is it in here? I don't see the technology.
This is not about technology.
You're right. It's moosh moosh.
It's, you know what? Every week. Sony's OLED screened X Series Walkman models are now on sale for $300 for the 16 gigabyte model and $400 for the 32 gigabyte model on the SonyStyle.com website. Now, again, just so you know why OLED is cool, very thin. In fact, some people have showed off flexible OLED. So, like, you could wear a little arm computer that would be worn like a bracelet, you know? Like, that was not that you would do that, but the military obviously is interested in stuff like that. But it's very thin. It directly emits light, so it doesn't need a backlight, which means that it looks great even in bright light, and it has much better viewing angles than LCD, for instance. And it's very power efficient. So what's cool about this is that the more stuff that comes out with OLED screens, the better we all are, because that'll bring OLED TVs closer to reality. Because so far, there are only two. There's that ridiculously priced Sony one that's like teeny tiny.
9 inches.
Yeah. I mean, it's ridiculous, and it's like $2,100.
Right.
But whatever. And then that Philips Cinema 21.9 TV that we reported on is going to be $7,400.
Excellent.
Speaking of expensive. But it's basically a CinemaScope, you know, aspect ratio TV.
Right.
Which is perfect because, you know, there's nothing out there that you can actually get in that
right.
format. All that means is that anything that you have that's, you know, 16 by 9 anamorphic but was originally shot in scope,
uh-huh.
you'll have to blow it up to get it to display on this TV, which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because then you're blowing it up. And as we all know, when you blow up digital stuff, it looks like crap. There will be four versions of the Fiat 500, which is actually going to be the only Fiat badge car to come here as part of the Fiat Chrysler merger by 2011, including the Abarth, which is really cool because that's the like super sporty one with scorpions all over it. So I'm very much looking forward to that.
Isn't that dangerous?
No, they're not real scorpions.
Oh.
They're pictures of scorpions.
Ah.
It's actually like a scorpion logo. But that car is so cool looking. You know, Italian design is really cool. And then when you make it fast and small and fuel efficient, winner right there, ladies and gentlemen. No pricing is set yet. Sorry. And it'll probably be built in either somewhere here in the U.S. or in Mexico rather than importing the one that's built in Europe because that would be too expensive. Dell Taiwan accidentally listed a $150 monitor on their website for $15, got 140,000 orders instantly, and then was forced by the Taiwanese government to honor those orders at that price.
That
which
sucks
I think
for
is
them.
Hilarious. But that's the way it should be.
Yeah,
you know
I
what?
Agree.
Proofread. If you're
I
selling
agree.
Something, proofread. Okay? Dell?
Schmell.
There you go. On Top Gear, Richard Hammond drove the Veyron against the Stig in a McLaren F1. Now, the McLaren F1...
I don't know what any of that means.
I don't know what this means.
What
the Veyron is the Bugatti that costs about $1.5 million. And it has a top speed. It's a street legal road car, very exclusive, costs, you know, a couple million bucks. Top speed, 252 miles an hour. And
is that an approximate speed?
What?
252. That's just
no. That's the fastest it can go. 252 miles an hour. That's the fastest it's been tested to go, apparently. Now in the 90s. The McLaren F1 was the world's fastest car, and it had a claimed top speed of 240 miles an hour. And there was a lot of stuff about it. It was the first car to ever use carbon fiber extensively. The driver sat in the middle as opposed to sitting on one side or the other. So there were a lot of unique things about it. So they went to the Middle East somewhere where the roads are all in perfect condition because, you know, it never gets really cold there. Nothing freezes. And they did a one-mile drag race between... like I said, Richard Hammond in the Veyron and the Stig in the McLaren. And you can see it online. In fact, I'll post it on pause.com. If you're into cars, it's really cool to watch. Because, I mean, you'll probably never see either one of these cars on the street. So to see them both together on the same street is really cool. The Asus E keyboard that we talked about before is now scheduled for an August release. Disappointing. Samsung's XL2370 LED backlit computer monitor, which was formerly announced as the P2370L, will be available within a couple of weeks. And I'm still trying to find out if it's still going to be around $400, which is awesome. Because, you know, Apple is really one of the only companies that has an extensive line of LED backlit computer monitors. The only other one that I know of that's out that's not made by Apple is one made by ViewSonic. And the Samsung is supposedly going to be $399, which is incredible because the 24-inch Apple LED cinema display is $1,000.
It's too much.
Ridiculous.
Yep.
That's at least $500 too much, if you ask me.
It's a lot.
It's a lot of cash money. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that. The only thing I don't like about it is that I just bought two of the P2370 non-LED backlit ones for my computer here.
That was foolish. That was jumping the gun.
Thank you, Tony, for that. Sony's Signature Collection version of their VioP notebook is $2,000. It's a netbook. It's not even a real notebook computer. It's a netbook, and it's $2,000.
That's ridiculous.
Mostly because it's got a custom skin and a 256 gigabyte SSD. $2,000 for a netbook?
You know what I will say, though? Sony is just staying consistent with their pricing.
Their pricing.
Their overpricing ridiculousness. Of everything.
I just got a Toshiba NB205 netbook for $399. Yep. Why would I pay $2,000 for something smaller than that?
Skins.
Skins.
Lots of skins.
Citroën's GTB, or GT by Citroën, the one that they made as like sort of a fake car, to go along with the latest Gran Turismo last year, is actually going to be produced as a real car. Only six will be made, and it's going to sell for about $1.83 million.
Okay, I would like to request that you put all your car stuff in one little chunk.
Why? I don't do that on purpose.
I can take a little nap.
No. I do that on purpose so you don't take a nap. Philips, in other Philips news, their new Brilliance LCD computer display has a sensor on it that knows if somebody's in front of it, and when you leave, it'll dim the screen and reduce its power consumption by 50%, which is actually really cool. It's all done in hardware, works independently of the OS and whatever power settings you have set up, and hopefully more people will start putting features like that on monitors because, you know, why not? Save a little electricity. Make your monitor last longer. That's what I'm talking about. HTC's new Hero is making a lot of waves because of the cool Teflon-coated back, its neat futuristic look, and the great new skin that they put on the Android OS.
Skins.
It's all about skins.
It's all about the skins.
Although the Jetta Sportwagon's diesel...
Oh, another car item.
Although the Jetta Sportwagon's diesel version accounted for 81% of its sales in June, six other automakers have killed plans for a bunch more diesels, including Ford, GM, Chrysler, Toyota, Honda, and Nissan, because they're all, in technical terms, dummies.
You know, the gas station by my house right now has diesel cheaper than all the other kinds.
Well, it usually is.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I thought it was always more.
It's only when the prices of gas last year were like crazy high. Uh-huh. That was the only time I remember it being more in years. Usually it's less, much more efficient, much better mileage, much better power.
Ah.
A lot of reasons why diesels are great and preferred in the rest of the world outside the U.S., where apparently people don't get it. Including Ford, GM, Chrysler, Toyota, Honda, and Nissan. Anyway, Dyson, you know, are you familiar with them? They make the vacuum cleaners?
Yes.
Yeah. His new DC31 handheld vacuum has a motor in it that spins at 104,000 RPM, which is insane. And he claims it's the fastest in the world. But then again,
That's according to James Dyson.
That's according to the guy who made it. So there you go. That could probably, like, suck up a dog. That's fast. I've never used one. It's brand new. Not out yet. So I don't know if it works, but it's fast, that's for sure. And that's pretty much it. So now, as always, it is time for our votes for the best and worst entertainment moments of the week. Tony, please start with your vote for the worst.
My worst is all this coverage on Michael Jackson.
Oh, including
it's
my own?
Too much.
Is it too
it's
much?
Too much. It's
is
everywhere.
It worse than the Rob Blagojevich coverage? At least Michael Jackson is somebody who contributed something good to the world rather than Rob Blagojevich.
Yeah, but I will say one thing. Isn't it amazing how for the last, like, what's it been?
Oh, everyone's complained about him.
5 years, all people have done is said
negative
stuff about him.
And now it's all like, oh, we love Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
He's the best. We must honor his memory. Yeah. I don't know who talks like this that I'm imitating, but apparently a lot of people do. But no, I know exactly. But that's always the way it is. Although, you know, I have to say one celebrity death I'm still confused by, Frank Sinatra. When he died, there was like nothing. It's like, oh, and Frank Sinatra died.
No, there was
in today's weather. You know, it was like, it wasn't that much. It wasn't like
it
this.
Wasn't as much as this. You're right. But he didn't have as much controversy surrounding him as this. And he had been sick for a while,
what?
Too.
What? How can you say that?
Well, not in our lifetime.
No, but there's a lot of people still living who lived through that.
Yeah. Mm. But that's, you know, there's already so much coverage, I don't think we need to give it any more.
Okay, fine. My worst entertainment moment of the week, I'm going to go with Virtuality on Fox, which was supposedly the pilot for a maybe TV show. Now, we've watched...
But they aired it as a movie.
They aired it as a two-hour movie.
I mean, even on my guide, it was listed as... Because, you know, movies are different colors than TV shows.
Believe it or not, I do not control the guide on your DVR.
No. Well, according to you, my DVR sucks, so...
No, according to me, all DVRs other than TiVo suck.
Oh, that's right.
Not your personal Tony's DVR, okay? Get off the high horse, pal.
I've got special skins.
Skins. It's all about the skins. Are they potato skins? Because that'd actually be something I'd think about buying. If a DVR came with potato skins. Mmm. Yummy. Anyway, yeah, I was just, you know, it's like looking forward to some cool sci-fi spaceship action. And so far, all I got is some creepy dude in a VR headset. I haven't watched the whole, we haven't finished watching it, but we're like an hour and a half in.
I'm about 45 minutes in, and I don't like it.
Yeah.
I thought the humor was too forced.
It wasn't really that funny.
Exactly.
It just...
It wasn't, you know, funny, and it was just... too much of it.
Really? I don't even remember what you're talking about.
At the beginning.
I don't even remember any humor
little,
at the beginning.
Like, comments.
I will say one part that you didn't get to that is kind of fun. Did you get to the part yet where Billy, who's the younger woman who's like the host now... Did you get to that part yet?
I think I saw her, yeah.
Okay, did you see when she was in her VR thing?
No.
Singing the theme song to the Munsters in Japanese in Tokyo?
No.
Okay, you see that, and then later you get more of that, and where they actually go with what her VR fantasy is actually really funny.
All right, maybe I'll watch some more of it.
Yeah, I want to finish watching it just to see what happens with it, but so far, not so good. And you know, you got to be really careful with Clea DuVall, because she can either like make or break something.
Right.
I agree. And I think she might have broken this. That's all I'm saying.
Because it's broke.
It's broke. Okay, so your best entertainment moment of the week?
You know what? This week was just a lot of okay stuff.
Yeah.
So in looking for a best entertainment moment of the week, I'm going to have to... This is just a specific instance. In sitting in my viewing of Public Enemies, just a few rows down from me, there was this like crackhead couple...
And you know they're crackheads, how?
Just loud, talking to the screen, talking to each other. Yeah. Just they weren't right. They weren't right in the head.
They weren't right in the head.
And so
as crack will often cause people to be.
Right. Don't do drugs, kids.
Yeah.
So the manager came over to
listen to your Uncle Bill and don't buy drugs. Become a rock star and they give them to you for free.
I love Actually. So the manager came over and is trying to like, you know, settle them down, and that wasn't going anywhere because
right.
They're screaming at him, and so finally he's trying to get them out, but they wouldn't leave.
Okay.
So
wow, I probably would have left.
Well, other people in the audience started yelling down.
I get very uncomfortable.
I was
weird
so uncomfortable, and
like
I was rows behind them.
Yeah.
But I have to say, once they left and everything, I thought to myself, this is more entertaining than the movie.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
So I don't know if it was necessarily my best entertainment moment of the week,
yeah.
But it was a very entertaining moment of the week.
You know, we had a similar experience. The reason I was in New York is one of my cousins got married, and they got married on the beach on Fire Island, which was really cool. I mean, it was right on the beach. It wasn't like in a hotel on the beach. It was just on the beach. And there are no cars on Fire Island.
Right.
So you take a ferry back and forth between Long Island and Fire Island, and on the way back...
Was that pun intended?
What?
Taking a ferry to Fire Island?
What do you mean?
Fire Island is known for being...
Well, parts of it. Parts of it. Parts of it are also known for having a lot of nude beaches, but that's not where the wedding was. Thank God. Because I'm not doing so well in the old Weight Watchers these days, if you know what I'm saying. But anyway, so on the ferry back, on the way back, it was so uncomfortable. There was this older couple. They were like mid to late 50s. And we thought they were a couple, but maybe they just had met each other. Completely wasted. And the guy was like trying to fondle the woman on the ferry.
Wow.
And she was kept stopping him. And then he was yelling at her for like, he was like, get over yourself. You're an idiot. Like, I would do that. Even though it was plainly obvious that the guy had tried to fondle her. It was very weird. But, I mean, he was, like, a huge, like, 55-year-old, like, meathead. like, you know, totally ripped, right. Huge muscles, bigger than his head, way bigger than his brain, obviously. And she was, I don't know why anyone would try to fondle her. Let's just put it that way.
Right.
But it was just
well, it was
such
her or you. What do you want?
Fortunately, there were more than just the two of us on the boat, so I'm pretty sure that was not actually the equation. But
is this your best entertainment moment of the week?
No, I was just mentioning a similar, awkward moment kind of thing. No, I'm for my best entertainment moment of the week, I'm going to have to go with True Blood. I just love that episode.
Yeah, it was good.
It was such a great episode. Like, I just was really wowed during the entire show. It was really fantastic.
I'm glad that they didn't make Lafayette a vampire. Because didn't you think that's where it was going last week?
Well, yeah, and we couldn't really figure out what happened because they all started feasting on him.
Yeah, but in order for him to become a vampire, he has to lay in the coffin with his maker, doesn't he?
Oh, God, I don't know. Is that what they said?
I believe that's what has to happen.
So what'd they do? Just bite him to within an inch of his life and stick him back in the
probably.
Dungeon? Probably. Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't think they've been really clear on that part of the mythology, and they probably should clear that up. But yeah, man, what a great episode. And he had a couple of good moments in that episode too.
Right. I'm glad he's out.
You're glad he's out of the dungeon. Yeah. As is always the case with people who you like who are unfortunately
in a dungeon.
Right. Here's to you, Lafayette. Here's to you. Let's drink one in his honor, shall we?
No.
Okay. You got anything else?
Nope.
Well, that's pretty much it for this episode. Episode 25, another landmark.
I think next week's is a bigger landmark because that's half a year we've done.
Well, that's true.
So
maybe they should just redo the year so that it's 50.
Sure.
Doesn't it sometimes seem weird that they're, what's with all the months having like 30, 31, 20? Why didn't they just like even it out?
Yeah, I don't know.
You know what I mean?
It's way too philosophical for me now.
Well, it's not really philosophy. It's more of math.
I guess.
And you're supposed to be good at math. By the way, I think you beat my score on who has the biggest brain.
I did beat your score.
By like 7 points.
Yes.
That's good.
And I did it from my phone, which is sometimes a little harder.
Well, so I thought about you saying that. We're talking about Who Has the Biggest Brain, which is a game I first played on Facebook and which is now available on the iPhone. And so I downloaded it, and a lot of the parts of the game are much easier on the iPhone because, like you said, you're tapping directly rather than controlling a mouse and clicking.
Right.
But for some reason, even though I don't know if the scoring is different or something, because even though...
Maybe your brain's just not as big as you think
it is. No. Here's what I'm going to say. There are parts of that I get through at about the same level as I normally would.
Uh-huh.
And then there are parts of that I get through a lot more because it's faster on the phone, but my scores are lower. Like if I go and play on Facebook and I see how many, how many rounds of each of the four parts I'm getting through, I get through less stuff on Facebook, but my scores are higher. It makes no sense whatsoever.
What about your accuracy? I mean,
do you get points taken off for accuracy?
Yeah.
Oh, that could be why. Because I did make a bunch of mistakes on the iPhone one because I was trying to go faster.
That's it. There's even a trophy if you go through an entire, the four stages without making any mistakes.
Really? Oh.
Which would be easy to get. You just go through and take your time. Don't worry about your score. Just, don't make any mistakes.
Oh, so that must be what it is. But good job. That's good job that you beat me on there.
I have a bigger brain.
Okay. So you're saying your brain is hung?
Sure.
Okay, there. We've used the joke three times now. We're done.
Let's put a whole show around that.
No. Somebody's already done that, and apparently the results are not that great.
It's not working.
So thanks again for listening. Write to us at podcastatpause.com, and we will see you next week.
Bye.